Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. That's Ephesians 4:29 in the Amplified. So we've been looking at portions of that, but let's go ahead. Let me give you this scripture. Most of us know this scripture, but I want to talk about it a little bit. It's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? Now, let's not misunderstand. It certainly doesn't mean don't let it come out of your mouth. What it means is don't let it stop coming out of your mouth. In other words, say it and keep saying it. Well, keep saying what? Say what the book of the law says, or say what the word of God says. Quote scripture, basically. We might put it in the language we use today. Quote scripture. If you need scripture on finances, quote scripture on finances. And when it says don't let it depart out of your mouth, it means keep saying it and stay consistent and say the same thing and don't say things then that are in opposition to it. But once you make a decision, I'm sticking with this, stay with it, to the point that I'm even going to say this, that if you mess up and you say something opposite to your confession, opposite to what you want to have come to pass, repent. Don't just let it go. Immediately say, God, I'm sorry. I repent for those words. That's not what I mean to say. What I mean to say is, you make a positive statement back in line with your confession. Don't just let the words go. You want to know why? Because we talked about words. Words of unbelief are evil. We'll get into this later. Anything that is not of faith is sin. That's Romans 14:23. If you haven't read that, anything that is not of faith is sin. Well, if God's calling words evil, they're sin. If evil words are words of unbelief and doubt, they're sin. So don't just let that go and act as though nothing happened. Something happened. Change it. Get it right. Get it right. Correct it. In the Old Testament, do you know that there was a sacrifice for the sin of ignorance? In other words, there was a sacrifice that had to be made to cover for the sin that somebody did that they didn't realize they did. But it was still attributed to them as sin. It still counted as sin, even though they didn't even know that they did it. So there had to be a sacrifice for that. Recently, having communion in church, it was prepared, and while it was being prepared and prayed over, I was praying, make sure my heart was right, and I said, Lord, and this is just the way I do it, you know, forgive me for anything that I've done wrong that I realize that I've done, and anything that I've done that I don't even know. Sometimes we hurt people's feelings and we don't know that we have. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know, I don't want to hurt anyone. And I know that there's accountability for sins of ignorance that we don't even know we've done something. So I was saying, I said, if there's anything that I've done that I don't realize, I ask that you would reveal it to me. You know what he said to me? He said words. That's all he said to me. But in here, in my spirit, I had this impression that I had said words that were unbelieving, that were not faith-filled words. And then, how God can, then suddenly I started getting flooded with some things I had said previously, but like the week before. Oh, yeah, I said that, and I said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Those were, why? They were words of unbelief. But listen, this is what I want you to hear. It was counted to me as sin. I mean, we're getting better and better at this as we're putting a guard on our mouth, a watch on our mouth. But so often, we say something that doesn't line up with what the Scripture says. Anything that is not of faith is sin. So, I've been more careful now. You know, I'm not looking for, oh, God forgive me for some huge offense that I did. But now I'm like, Lord, how are my words? Whether it's in private, at home, or in the workplace, or with my family. Sometimes people get a little more casual with their family. Oh, this is how I feel. And then here it comes, right? And so, you know, how was your day? Well, this happened and then that happened and I'll even tell you this. I worked really hard on this message today. I think I got up from my desk maybe two or three times. I was it, and then went right back. And I just kept writing. I mean, I wrote 25 pages. And so I just kept working on it, Just God was just so stirred on the subject. But I know God wants us to get this. There's so much more in this for us that he wants us to get. And he wants us to get it because he wants to get the blessings over to us. It's like he's on the edge of his throne saying, get it to him. I want to get it to him. I want to get it to him. I want him to have it. I want him to have it. He's not the one that withholds from you. It's the devil. Again, another thing that came up the last time we were teaching last week that I don't really talk like this, but I think I said something like, if you let the devil in your pocketbook, if you allow the devil in your pocket or in your pocketbook, something like that, it will be allowed. If you're allowing the devil to steal from you, you're allowing it. God wants it prevented, but you prevent it by your mouth. You prevent it by your mouth. You cause the blessings to come to you by your mouth. You cause the blessings to come to you. You cause money to come to you by your mouth. You cause the blessings to come to you by your mouth, by staying in line with what he says. He is, I know that I know that I know. When I was standing around here and I said it's time for the Christians to stand up and to declare the way that it is, it was so strong in me. It was like this sense of God just, I want them to get it. I want them to understand their authority. I want them to understand that I set them on this earth to rule and to reign. I put them here to be the head and not the tail. I want them to know that they are the one that is to be the lender and not the borrower. I want them to know that they're a royal heir, a royal priesthood, joint heirs with Jesus, that all their needs have been provided. I've provided everything. I put gold in there with Adam. I gave him all the food he'd need, all the animals that God made them come to him. And what did Adam do? Adam named them. And whatever Adam named them, so be it. That's what its name was. What did he do? He gave them the right to call things, to name things. What are you naming your financial status? Do you see? What are you calling your financial status? Yes? Yes? Yes, you get it. What are you calling yourself financially? That's right. Yes. Tomorrow or today? Today. Now. Because if you have it now, you'll have it tomorrow. If it's only tomorrow, you'll be waiting. It's today. Call your financial staff. Just as Adam named the animals. And whatever he called them, that was their name. Whatever you call your financial status is what it is. Whatever you say it is what it is. Isn't that exciting? Now, that's scripture. That's scripture. Not just because Adam named the animals and then that was their name. That God gave him the authority to rule on the earth. But also, we see that in the New Testament. Progressive revelation as we go through the Bible, right? Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. What is your financial status? Very rich. Rich and very rich. Today, rich and very rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. Well, you're even more than his servant, you're his child. So if he delights in the prosperity of his servant, how much more you? So anyway, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I mean, say what the scripture says and keep saying it and stay in line to say the same thing. Say the same thing that God says. I want to be on God's side. I do not want to be on the devil's side. I want to be on God's side, which means I want to be in agreement with God. The way that I'm in agreement with God is by agreeing with his words, saying what he says. And if he says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, then that means I'm blessed and I'm rich. If he delights in prospering his servant, I'm certainly his servant. I'm more than a servant, I'm his child. I am going to agree with God. Praise God, he delights in prospering me. And let me say it continually. exciting. Now, what about this end of this verse, Joshua 1:8? See, it's after you say, after the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, and then near the end of it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success. Who makes your way prosperous? You are, by the words of your own mouth, by saying what God says, by being in agreement with God, by not letting his words depart out of your mouth. Meaning you say them over and over, and you're consistent, and you say the same thing that he says. Let's go on a little bit more. Okay, we're not to let any unwholesome or any worthless talk ever come out of our mouth. We're still basing this on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. We're going to look at a different verse. Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 to 37. I'll read it to you. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, now get this, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Here's what I want you to see. Every idle word. Now, that goes back to saying the same thing that we say in Ephesians. Let no unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. Worthless talk. What's worthless? Has no value. What's idle talk? It's not necessarily evil, idle talk, but he still says that we'll render an account for it in the day of judgment. We'll render an account for an idle word. You know why? Because an idle word, even though it isn't necessarily evil, doesn't do anything. It flat out just doesn't do anything. An idle word doesn't do anything. And God wants our words to do something. Something positive. Not just idle. He wants your words to be working on your behalf. He wants your words creating your future. He wants your words creating tomorrow morning better than it would have been had you said nothing. He wants your words working for you. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it goes on to say what we should be saying. We talked a lot about what we should not say, but now what we should be saying. We speak words that are good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Words that go out and help others to go forward or to succeed. Those are the words that we should be speaking. They're beneficial to the hearers. We're edifying. We're building up. We're ministering life and love and joy and compassion. We're speaking words of victory, words of encouragement. These are the words that we should be saying. These are not idle words. Idle words do nothing. Now, words that tear down fit into an evil category, but idle words are just nothing. He wants you to be using your words to realize what he gave you with the gift of speaking words. What a precious, precious gift. And he wants you to use it effectively. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's Psalm 19:14. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. So the words that we speak need to be building others up, encouraging, strengthening. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Listen, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I know this about Kenneth Hagin, and I know this about Keith Moore. And I know that they were men that understood the importance of their words. And I know from people that have been around them, eating with them and whatever, and Pastor Brad was actually invited to go meet with Keith Moore and just a few other ministers. It was very small. It was only six people, actually, after the meeting on Monday night. And they had a little meal for him, and it was with Mark and Brenda Thomas and Reverend Moore and Brad, and then Dave Conolano from San Francisco and another minister, Tony Fleet, who's been here before. And so we're invited back. And so I went back, and I said, well, did Keith Moore talk very much? Because I know what he teaches. And Brad said, you know, he didn't hardly say anything. But when he did speak, he said he told three stories, and they edified and they built us up. That's basically all he said. Why? Because he's learned to train his mouth. They've trained their mouth. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Jesus was even an example of this to us when he, over the issue of the woman that was caught in adultery. Do you remember? The religious leaders at that time were trying to trick him and catch him. We're going to catch him this way, or we're going to catch him that way. We're going to catch him. What were they trying to catch him with? They were trying to catch him with the words of his mouth. They were trying to get him to say something that they could use against him. But being the one of wisdom that he is, he didn't respond immediately. And we have an account that he drew in the sand. He didn't answer them immediately. Why? Slow to speak. He waited for wisdom, probably from his father. How do I answer this? And he answered in such a way that they couldn't trap him. He said, let he who is among you without sin throw the first stone. And then they started to dissipate. We're to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Oh, there's just scripture after scripture, and I will probably print them out for you, about verses in the Bible that talk about wise people and their words and fools and their words. Now, let's go ahead and move on. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Didn't Jesus do that? Yes. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. This is interesting. Proverbs 10:19, this is a little bit of what I was talking to you about a little earlier. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. That's New American Standard. Let me say that again. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. What does that mean? If somebody's always talking, they're bound to sin. It's unavoidable. Why? Why is it unavoidable for somebody that's constantly talking to sin? Because they're not guarding their mouth. And anything that's of unbelief is evil. Anything that's not of faith is sin. In their own words, they can be sinning. In their own words, they can be saying words of unbelief. So in the multitude of words, sin is unavoidable. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. What does that mean, snared with the words of thy mouth? Caught, trapped, snared with the words of thy mouth. So, that could mean an inconsistent confession. Somebody sits down to pay their bills and they say there's not enough money. Snared by the words of your own mouth. Even though you kept a confession really good, talking about how the Lord blesses you and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, but then you sit down to pay bills and something like that comes out. That's why I'm saying, repent for words of unbelief. Don't just let them go as though they don't count. And also this, when you get to the point where you really understand how important your words are, I know those words are active. I don't want negative words being active. If I realize what I've said, I try to catch it immediately and correct it or repent for it. Because I don't want negative words working. Not for me, not against somebody else. I try to be careful how I speak about people. Listen, when Jesus talked to the fig tree, he said, may no one ever eat fruit of you again. And one of the disciples later, as they're passing, says, Master, look at the fig tree. It's withered from the roots up. He says, the fig tree you cursed. Jesus did not stand there and say, I curse you, fig tree. You are cursed. In the name of the Lord, in my name. He didn't do that. All he did was speak negative to it, and that was called a curse. Speaking negative to it was enough to cause it to wither at the root. Do you understand why we will render account for every idle word that we utter? Do you understand why the Bible says the only words that should come out of our mouth are those which edify, those that uplift, those that are good, those that are beneficial to the need of the moment? To help the hearers, that these words should be with grace. Why? Because if you speak a negative word about someone or to someone, you've cursed them. That's important to know. That's very important to know. We don't want to curse people. We want to curse cancer. Let that wither at the root. But we don't want to curse people. So we want our words to be what? Just wholesome, edifying, seasoned with grace, words that uplift, words that edify. We don't want any evil words coming out, and we don't want any words coming out unless they're good and they're beneficial to the hearer. We don't want idle words coming out because idle words don't profit anybody. God doesn't want idle words. That means he wants you thinking about your words before you say them. Now, let's look at this. This is in Matthew. Whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to paraphrase, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When someone says, I don't have enough money to go on that retreat, where am I going to get the money to buy Christmas presents for people? You know how it adds up. I don't want to run a big bill up on the credit card, but I want to get all these gifts for people. There just isn't enough money for me to bless people the way I want to. Do you hear all these words? They're all negative. They're negative. And yet sometimes we hear people saying words like this, don't we? Okay, those are evil words of unbelief. And those words bind your finances. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Don't bind your own finances. Loose your finances. I have more than enough to buy every gift my heart desires to buy for people this Christmas. Now, I'm not saying, you know, be foolish. You know, it's wise to use budgets and things like that. What I'm talking about is how you use your mouth. How you use your mouth. So you loose your finances with your mouth. I don't live on debt. I don't live by debt. I pay for everything with cash. But I walk by faith, not by sight, not by the sense realm. So I check myself. I'm constantly checking myself. Constantly checking my words. As growing, maturing Christians in love and in this issue of our words, we should be constantly catching ourselves and making adjustments. Because the Bible says in James, and we'll get to this at another time, it says, if you can tame the tongue, you can tame everything. And it's the tongue that's like the rudder of a ship that sets the course for your life. What's setting the course for your life? Your tongue is setting the course for your life. So we want that tongue to stay lined up with the Word of God. I recently heard somebody say, oh, I don't need very much. I don't need very much. It really doesn't take very much money for me to live. I don't need very much. And you know, the Lord checked me on that. I just knew on the inside that wasn't right. It might have been humble, but I had a sense in my spirit that's not what God wanted. I don't need very much. Obviously, they didn't have a problem with greed or covetousness, but God was wanting to get more blessings over to them. But they were binding their own finances by saying they didn't need much. Not just with the words of their mouth, but with where their faith was at. I don't need much. You know what? You do. You know why? You're called to preach the gospel. I don't have very much need. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. There are churches for you to build. Oh, yes, you do. There are nations for you to go to. I don't need much. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Why limit yourself in what you can do? Why limit yourself in preaching the gospel? Good night. Why don't you go ahead and believe God for us and get the money for our church building? You do need. If you don't need it for yourself, then need it for somebody else and be a blessing. You can't give it if you don't have it. And if you're not in faith for it, it's not coming to you. And if you're not speaking about it coming to you, it's not coming to you. Oh, but I get everything that I need when I go to God and I ask. I'm glad, so go now. Well, whenever I need it, I get it. I'm glad, go now. Go to God, tell God what you need, tell Him what you want, tell Him what we need, and go get it. If you don't really need it at this second, pass it around. Because there are other people in the body that have maybe greater, higher bills. More kids to feed. More kids to put through school. More clothes to buy. Gee, kids. I put a pair of jeans on my son, and, you know, with this skateboarding and stuff they do, he has ripped holes in them. I'm thinking, I just bought that. Is there a need? I don't want him walking around with holy jeans. Not that kind of holy, anyway. So there are needs. All right, we could, if you have time on your own, I want you to go into Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 14, the promised blessings for obedience. And I want you to turn those into personal confessions. Now,
Here's where the devil tries to trick people. He'll get you in the fact that he'll say, yeah, but you're not perfectly obedient, so you don't qualify. You've missed it, so you don't qualify, so you can't claim that. That's for people that are obedient. You've missed it. You've missed it even more than once. And here's what you're to say to him. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law in order that the blessing of Abraham could come to us. What does that mean? It means even if you've missed it in perfect obedience, which we all have, Jesus Christ took the curse of the law so that you and I could have all those blessings in Deuteronomy. The blessings, not the curses, the blessings. Jesus Christ took the curses, poverty, sickness, and spiritual death is how we can sum them up, so that you could have prosperity, eternal life, and health. So, when you have time, go ahead and look at those and just turn those into personal confessions. And then I'm going to give you one last scripture and we'll end. This scripture helps me. It helps me when I need something because it seems to increase my faith to believe and to ask. And it's Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I'm going to read it to you in the New American Standard. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. God's already given Jesus. What is a new car compared to Jesus? What is a house in the Bay Area compared to Jesus? What is a job that pays double compared to Jesus? If God has already given Jesus, everything else is easy. Focus on the scripture, and you just keep speaking these scriptures over yourself. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He gave up Jesus. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen. And we're going to end.